Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. I'm your host, Max Chabot, alongside my co-host, Dalton Wasserman. We got producer Eli back there in the studio as well. So last week, we did our top five offensive prospects at every position in the 2024 NFL Draft, in addition to a sleeper that we like at every position. Now it's time to flip it over to the defensive side of the ball and give you our top five prospects at every defensive position, again, in addition to a sleeper as well. Dalton, a little bit of a weaker defensive class this year, but I think that makes it a little bit more fun because we'll have some different names, I think, in our top five list.
Definitely. There was some real shuffling that happened, especially in the fourth and fifth spots for me at every position. I do think there is some prime talent at every spot, especially at corner. I think this is a lot deeper cornerback class than people are giving it credit for. But yeah, no, this was hard. I found myself having to really, really dig in on a lot deeper on the board at a lot of these positions than I did offensively. You know, this draft, it's electric. We've got all the big names on offense, but there's still a lot of good defensive players. I just think there's a lot more role players and guys who are really good at like one or two things instead of just those all-around superstars that we get some years. But no, this was a lot of fun just to try to figure this out in the orders. I'm really curious to see the order of things that you have here.
Dude, so am I for you, man. Because I was some of these positions were tough putting together a top five because I think it's wildly different orders you can have. So why don't we start off with the interior defensive line? And I actually think it's a pretty good interior defensive line class that we have this year. So why don't you give me your 5-1, your top five interior defensive linemen?
Yeah, this was tough, man. I mean, when you look at the top two especially, were really, really hard to separate. But I'll start at five. I got Chris Jenkins from Michigan at five, a rock solid run defender. I think like he's not built like his dad, but I think the roles are kind of the same where he does kind of the long arm bench press thing and sheds blocks and makes stops in the run game, right? For Tavondre Sweat, honestly, the best just pure run-stopping nose guard in this draft. I just get such like a DJ Reader, Damon Harrison feel where he doesn't fill the traditional stat sheet, but he's a monster in the middle and was really the best run defender maybe in the entire country at any position last year. Three, I've got Braden Fisk out of Florida State. Absolutely killed the combine. I think it was a 4.7, 8.40 at 295 pounds, which is gross. Versatile guy, played a lot off the edge at Western Michigan, moved inside later in his career, really athletic, good pass rusher, and can just, honestly, especially, I love his ability from the backside to chase down tackles. The top two were the hardest part here, actually. Byron Murphy, I have at number two. 1 year of elite production. If he keeps up the pass rush production that he had in 2023, he very well could be the best D-tackle in this class. Consistent player otherwise, really helps out Sweat in the run game down there at Texas, but could be the best pass rusher. And then our guy at number one, Johnny Jerzon Newton from Illinois, just all around, just a super athlete, former running back, makes plays in the run game and the pass game. And the one thing that caught me, I didn't realize just how durable he is and playing through the foot injury this year. Yeah, but two straight years, well over 700 snaps. One of the most durable D tackles, despite his size. You know, he's kind of undersized, but super athletic, super durable, big time impact in both phases of the game. I think for the last 2 years, he's really been the best defensive tackle in the country, and I'm going to leave it there, even though the difference between one and two here is really, really slight.
Yeah, we actually have the same five players, just slightly different order in our top five. So number five, I'm the same as you. I have Chris Jenkins from Michigan. One of the strongest players in this draft, man, and excellent, excellent run defender. Adds a little bit as a pass rusher, too, but I think there's still more to be unlocked there with him. But yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, son of a Jet, great dude, Chris Jenkins, the former Jet, who then you have like an unbelievable Hard Knocks moment, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think there was like a crazy Hard Knocks moment he had too. I'm trying to think of exactly what it was, but Chris Jenkins, his dad was a great player, and obviously his son now is going to be a high draft pick as well, probably a day two pick. At four, we got Braden Fisk from Florida State, who, by the way, we literally just interviewed a couple weeks ago. Check out that interview, dude. He is awesome. Like, he was one of the most fun players I've ever talked to. He mentioned, he's like, man, you know, I'm getting so sick of all this talk, because before it was like, oh, I played played at Western Michigan. I didn't play good competition. He's like, so I transferred to Florida State, and I dominated there. Then they're saying, oh, well, he's not a good athlete. And I go, well, then I go to the combine, and I dominate there. They say, well, he didn't play against, you know, the top of the top. He goes, then I go to the Senior Bowl. I dominate there. He's like, so I'm just getting sick and tired of all these people doubting me. Now it's the arm length, too. And obviously he's got concerns with his length, obviously. But really productive player at both Western Michigan and Florida State. And honestly, I think he's had the best pre-draft process of almost any prospect of this entire draft. I mean, he had an excellent Senior Bowl, then an excellent combine, and then an excellent interview on the PFF College Football Show. And I bet he had some excellent interviews with NFL teams as well. He's a guy that probably was like a day three pick during the season, and now all of a sudden he's looked at as a top 50 pick right now because of how good his pre-draft process is. So I like him a lot. Number three, actually, happened to Devondre Sweat. Massive, massive defensive tackle at around, I think, 360 pounds. Around 360. He's a guy that I don't think really gets the credit he deserves as a pass rusher. He actually was in the 95th percentile among defensive tackles this past year with a 15% pass rush win rate. So he's not a guy that like a Jordan Davis where he's like not going to add too much at all as a pass rusher. I think Sweat actually adds a little bit as well. And obviously he's an unbelievable run defender this past year, which was what made him the best defensive tackle, I think, in college football. Obviously conditioning is going to be an issue for him. And you know, keeping the weight down is going to be the biggest thing for him. But if he can do that and get down to maybe 350 or 340, I think if he can stay on the field consistently, I think he's going to be a really, really good player in the NFL because he adds a pass rush element that most massive defensive tackles simply don't add, honestly. And then at number two, I got Byron Murphy, the same as you, the other Texas defensive tackle, probably the best pass rushing defensive tackle this past year and probably the second best overall defensive tackle behind Devondre Sweat, at least according to our grading. Excellent, excellent pass rusher. Holds up really well in the run game as well. What I think is so crazy about Byron Murphy, that they played Devondre Sweat a lot at three tech and had Byron Murphy line up as the nose tackle because of how strong he is, man, and he can take on double teams. Usually when you have a 360 pound defensive tackle, you're putting him at nose tackle and letting Byron Murphy, the quick player, play at three tech. It was kind of the opposite. It just shows how strong of a player Byron Murphy is. So big fan of him. Excellent pass rusher, still a really good run defender as well, could take on double teams, worthy of a first round pick. And so is Johnny Newton, I think, from Illinois, who, again, another interview we had. Excellent interview that we had last year. Check it out if you haven't already. He mentioned that he wanted to go back to school because he wasn't going to be a first-round pick when he looked at the mock drafts, and he's going to be a first-round pick this year. So he accomplished that feat. And, yeah, wasn't able to work out, unfortunately, because of that foot injury, but he's a really good athlete, I think. Has obviously some size concerns, but he has been an incredibly productive player, both as a pass rusher and as a run defender. He's one of those guys where you turn on his tape and you're like, man, I know there's some size concerns there, but he's just so freaking dominant in the Big Ten that it almost doesn't matter for me. So I'm taking him. You could take him top 10, top 15, and I wouldn't hate it, honestly, Johnny Newton. I think he's a really, really good player. But who is the sleeper, Dolan, that you have in this defensive tackle group?
Ooh, there's plenty to pick from because it's really kind of a gritty group. But I'm going to take you to the alma mater real quick, Max. Let's go down to Florida Atlantic and Homer. Talk about the biggest number eight on a jersey I've ever seen in my life. Big Evan Anderson in the middle. He measured out shorter than I thought at his pro day, actually only 6'1", but 6'1", close to 340. Honestly, maybe the best group of five run stopper over the last 4 years. Check this out. Since 2020, all right, over the last 4 years, the only defensive tackles in the country with a better run D grade than Evan Anderson, Dante Corleone from Cincinnati,
Godfather,
Kobe Turner, who's now with the Rams, and Devondre Sweat. Woo. Fourth in the country among defensive tackles in run D grade since 2020. He just, this kind of the same as Sweat, just the group of five version, just absolutely clogs the middle. You could see it in 2022. He missed a handful of games with injury, and FAU's run defense was just not the same. This guy, he's got a quicker than you would think first step for a guy that big, and he is immovable in the run game. Even in games against like Illinois and against Clemson, played at least respectable games despite those being real challenges, and FAU's offense had their defense on the field a lot. But big Evan Anderson, I think somewhere in the fifth, sixth round, if you're a team that missed out on a run stopper like Sweat or like a Tyler Davis from Clemson, I think he would be a really good alternative.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him as well. So I don't think you're being too much of a homer picking him there. But the guy I'm actually going to go with, Dalton, is a guy that was a projected first-round pick entering the season and probably DT2, at least for me, behind Johnny Newton. Leonard Taylor from Miami, who was this super highly rated recruit coming out of high school, and in his sophomore year, he looked phenomenal, especially as a pass rusher. And he still was a really good pass rusher this past season. He just kind of took a step back as a run defender, but right now he's being projected as a fourth-round pick, and man, if he can really stay consistent and show those flashes like he did as a sophomore more consistently, you could see a guy that is worthy of being a first or second round pick. And I think he could be a steal on draft day, honestly. Really good power, really good explosiveness, just really raw in terms of his hand usage and his pad level right now. But man, he's got really good tools. Didn't really test out as well as I expected for him. I think he tested out as like a 73rd percentile athlete, according to Kentley Platt's relative athletic score. But like I said, dude, I mean, he has a 99th percentile pass rush win rate over the last 2 years. I mean, he truly has some special plays as a pass rusher and special movement ability. Trevor Sekhoma put it perfectly, I think, in the draft guy. Said he looks like a supersized linebacker out there sometimes when he's rushing the passer, which is really rare for a 300 pounder. So I think Leonard Taylor, again, he had kind of a down junior year, which is why he went from a projected first round pick to a projected day three pick. But I still think there's a lot to work there as a pass rusher and run defender. You just kind of hope he kind of figures it out in the NFL, because I think there's a lot of stuff to work with Leonard Taylor. All right, let's go over to our edge defender rankings right now. All right, count us down, Dalton, from your 5-1, your top five edges in the 2024 draft.
So number five, I actually went Chris Braswell from Alabama. I don't think he's the flashiest player in this draft, but I think he's very, very safe. I think if you take Braswell in your top 50, you're really talking about a guy who I think for multiple years could have somewhere between 8 and 10 sacks. He's a power rusher. He likes to dip and rip. He's a very functional run defender. I think Chris Braswell is a really, really high floor guy that fits in really just about on any team in the league. So I think if you're not going, you know, taking a home run swing on this next guy, or say a Darius Robinson or something like that, I think Braswell's a nice, safe pick who could be a starter in the league for a long time. Four, I've got Chop Robinson. And I think this is the home run swing you're taking, where he could really be the best pass rusher in this draft. He may end up as that. He just has to play more snaps and get there and more consistently use all of his talent. He's kind of halfway between the next two guys I'm about to talk about, where there's like, you can see the power, you can see the power to speed when he rushes the passer. You can see the closing speed. I mean, he absolutely killed the combine. You can just see all of the athleticism pop. He just needs to do it more consistently. But I would not be shocked if Chop Robinson came out of this draft as the best pass rusher out of all of them. Three, I have Dallas Turner from Alabama. Explosive athlete. The closing speed when he turns a corner is crazy. When he turns a corner on stunts is crazy. You can see just his athleticism running down guys like Jaden Daniels and Jalen Milrow and Joe Milton and Byron Brown. Like, he looks like he plays like a running back almost in an edge defender's body. Even some of his releases coming off against tackles, he's got like this stutter release like wide receivers have. Dallas Turner, just a crazy athletic speed rusher. Two, I went Jared Verse over Turner. More of a classic defensive end power rusher who, the times when he uses length and leverage, he looks like the best defensive player in the country. He just has to do that more consistently. You could see it slowly as his career went on, and the way he took over at the end of this year in Florida State's last couple of games when after Jordan Travis got hurt, just took games over. I mean, you have a guy who can just be the best football player on the field anytime he uses proper technique. But the two things with him, when he uses his length and he uses leverage, when he lets guys get in on his chest and things take a little longer, you know, can't have it for Verse. But he's also explosive at his size to run, I think, a 4.6 flat is crazy. But I think he's as classic a defensive end as you have in this draft. And then one, which I think Sam wrote about this the other day, and there's been some more movement in the building about this. Leatu Latu, man, over the last 2 years has been pretty clearly the best defensive player in the country. Going back and watching him again, I think Max, we have right now, there's a lot of talent in this draft, right? But we have like, I think, eight elite players that are getting talked about more than everybody else. You have the top three quarterbacks, the top three receivers, and Brock Bowers and Joe All. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think after watching again, I think Latu is the ninth best player in this draft, at least. I don't see. I know people say the athleticism, and like you watch the last 2 years of this tape, there aren't any flaws. There's nothing. The arsenal's crazy. And to me, I think the separator might be actually his run defense. Just so fundamentally sound, and his eyes just tell his body where to go and how to get to the football. The only thing I could sit here and say with Latu is you just don't see the explosive speed of like Chop or Turner. But I don't really see any flaws in his game, Max. I think if there's any guy here who I could tell you is just not going to bust, it's Leiatu Latu. I think he's the best defensive player in this draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm happy that we're all coming around on that, because I think Trevor Sikkim even put Latu as his number one edge now in the latest PFF NFL Draft Big Board. Check out pff.com. And yeah, I'm happy he's finally getting that love. So I count it down from my 5 to 1. top four is actually the same, exactly the same as you. My number five guy's a different one. I got Braylon Trice from Washington. Kind of like Jared Verse in a lot of ways, except he just seems like a more of a power edge rusher, where Verse kind of adds more of a speed element to it. But Braylon Trice, man, has been incredibly productive, incredibly strong player who can win with power, and he's done it consistently for 2 years now. He's been one of the pressure leaders in college football for each of the last two seasons. I really like Braylon Trice, man. I think he's a guy that is probably going to go in the second round, and I think he should go a little bit higher than that because of how good he's been in college football the last couple years. Chop Robinson, I have at number four. I'm going to say it right now, though. I am dangerously close to putting Chop at number three above Dallas Turner, because I think Chop Robinson, his athleticism, man, is rare. And I understand he hasn't been on the field as much as someone like Dallas Turner, but when he is, dude, he's elite in every like advanced metric that we have. He's 97th percentile on pass rush win rate, 99th percentile in pass rushing grade over the last 2 years, 87th percentile in run defense grade. I think there's more to Chop Robinson than people give him credit for. So, yeah, I think Chop Robinson deserves to be a first-round pick. And I think I am really close to putting him above Dallas Turner. I think it's that close between him and Dallas Turner. But Dallas Turner, I have at number three because he's done it more than Chop Robinson. He's been on the field more than Chop Robinson. Robinson's, you know, was kind of a rotational piece for Penn State last year, battled some injuries this year as well. Dallas Turner has been more of a consistent player in terms of getting on the field. He's still been an incredible athlete who's been a productive player. I just don't think the production is as dominant as people make it out to be. And that's why, you know, I'm hearing a lot of smoke right now about Dallas Turner being the first defensive player off the board and a top 10 pick. I'm not there, man. I don't know if Dallas Turner deserves to be a top 10 pick in this draft. So I have him at number three. Jared Verse at number two. I think he covered it really well. Great speed to power, man. He is a really, really strong player who can honestly play quicker than you expect for someone that size. And he's been a really, really good player, both as a run defender and pass rusher for Florida State in each of the past 2 years. And then number one is the best defensive player in college football last year, Leiatu Latu, who actually set the PFF record for the highest graded season we've ever given to a Power 5 player at a 96.3 mark. And guys right below him were Blake Corum last year in his unbelievable season for Michigan, Chase Young in his great year before he became the number two overall pick for Ohio State, one of the most dominant years I've ever seen for a college defensive player. Quinnen Williams, another incredibly dominant year he had before getting selected number three overall by the Jets. And Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, who obviously one of the best tight end seasons we've ever seen, became the number four overall pick. So you're talking about three guys who were top five picks in the draft because of their final seasons, and Latu is being projected as a top 2025 pick, honestly, which I don't quite understand. But I think his advanced pass rushing moves is unbelievable, man. Some length questions for sure, but I don't really think the athleticism questions are really there anymore. He tested out as a 93rd percentile athlete at his pro day and combine, so really good athlete as well. So I think Leiatu Latu is edge one for me, edge one for you, edge one for Trevor Sikkema, and deserves to be edge one in the NFL draft, even though I don't think he will be. I think he will be probably the third edge defender off the board if I had to make a prediction right now, which I don't think is very fair to him. But who is the sleeper Dalton that you have in this draft right now?
I'm going to go over to Colorado State. Let me get Muhammad Kamara. He had an excellent combine. He had multiple pressures in all but one game this year for Colorado State. But they didn't make a bowl game, but by the end of the regular season, he was second in the country in pressures behind Braylon Trice. Top 10 pass rush grade, top 10 true pass rush grade. You know, not the best run defender in the world, but he checks all the boxes as a solid pass rusher. And there's multiple games against Power 5 teams, against Washington State, against Vanderbilt, against Michigan, I believe in 2022, where he had solid games rushing the passer. This guy, he's just a pure, he's not the longest guy either, only 6'1", not the longest arms, but he just finds his way to the quarterback. I think, and especially on a team like that, that really, really struggles in most other aspects, he was by far their best player. There are multiple games this year where you can see, I believe he had two games with at least 10 pressures, including the Colorado game on a big stage. Just a really solid, you know, sometimes he rushes with power more so than length and speed, but just a really good pass rusher, really consistent over, you know, during his career at Colorado State, and was dominant this year. I believe it was a 91.2 pass rush grade. I would take Kamara probably as something close to a fourth, maybe even late third round sleeper.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And another guy who I think is probably going to end up being a fifth round pick, honestly, is another UCLA edge defender in Gabriel Murphy. And they actually have three UCLA edge defenders in this draft. Lau Tulatu, obviously, as our number one guy, Gabriel Murphy, and then Gabriel's actually twin brother, Grayson Murphy. Both of them transferred over from North Texas, both incredibly productive there. And then both were actually really productive at UCLA as well. I like Gabriel a little bit more, though. He kind of is like a diet Lau Tulatu in a lot of ways, where it's like they don't have great size, they don't have great length. They're both really good athletes and better athletes than they get credit for. Because I know Gabriel Murphy, one of his questions too, like Latu, has been his athleticism. Again, Murphy, like Latu, 93rd percentile athlete, like he tested out as. So I understand the on-field stuff is more important, but like when you test out like that, it's almost like, okay, you can't really say he's a bad athlete anymore because he's proved that he's not. And his kind of, you know, what I like about him the most is the same as Latu, where it's like these guys, their technique is so good, man. I think he's a really, really good technical player, really good pass rush plan, really good counter moves I like as well from Gabriel Murphy. He is a 3-4 outside linebacker only. I don't think you could put him as a 4-3 defensive end because he's a little bit smaller at 6'2", 247. But like I said, man, with Latu, a lot of the same things with Latu just kind of toned down a little bit. So I really like Gabriel Murphy, and I think he could be a productive player in the NFL. And right now, if you're going to get him as a fifth round pick like he's being projected right now, I think that's a really good value if you're looking for someone in a 3-4 defense to add as a good pass rusher for you. Obviously, the strength is going to be a question mark for him, and that's why he's going to be a day three pick. But, man, he showed a lot of stuff as a pass rusher that I really like, and he's a better athlete than people give him credit for. So Gabriel Murphy from UCLA is the guy I want to shout out as my sleeper at edge defender. Let's move over to the linebacker class, Dalen. Really interesting linebacker class, kind of a wide open one. Who are your top five linebackers in this draft right now?
Yeah, this was tough, especially on the back end of it. But at five, I went with Cedric Gray from North Carolina. I think you have a lot of guys in this draft who are very good either in run defense or in coverage. And I think the coverage side of it is a little more rare in this class. But I like Cedric Gray's athletic ability, his coverage skills. I believe he's graded over a 70 in three straight years in coverage. Really good Senior Bowl, showed the athleticism there. I think, you know, I think there's a ton of run stoppers in this draft more so than coverage guys. And I would go, if I was taking a fourth-ish round chance on a coverage linebacker, I would go with Cedric Gray. Four, Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M for me. He was the highest graded linebacker in the country this season after a few years of kind of middling, like decent. He really exploded this year. But I think the concern for me, and he had a big jump in coverage grade, is a lot of his highlights this year came as a spy, right? And that falls under the coverage umbrella. Like, there's a lot of like pressure, there's pass rush highlights, there's spy highlights chasing down quarterbacks. We mentioned it during the season how he was chasing down all the mobile SEC quarterbacks. He is a problem, and he fits in run defense really, really well. But I couldn't help thinking about like Willie Gay kind of this year, who led the NFL in spy snaps, or even like I thought about a Devin White who really exploded his last year at LSU all the way to the fifth overall pick, and that was certainly too high of a draft slot for him. I have real questions about if Cooper can cover, but I like him in run defense a lot. I do think that's a valuable skill. We've seen Willie Gay be a solid player. You know, we've seen Devin White, when placed in the right role, be a solid player, but I wouldn't ask Cooper to cover too much, but based on his last season, this is where I'll slot him in. Three, give me Jeremiah Trotter out of Clemson. I think he's the highest graded linebacker in the entire country over the last two seasons, right? A little bit small. You can tell not as physical as a couple of these other guys, but he can really move. He can really cover. You can see the pedigree in the football IQ. He's almost always in the right spot. It's just a matter of when guys get his hands on him downhill, that's a problem. But I think Trotter, like Trotter's good tape to me reminds me of a guy from, I don't want to say back in the day because he's still playing, but it actually is pre-PFF college, is I think Levante David. David's a guy. Now, the only thing, Trotter, I don't believe, ran at the combine. I don't remember if he had an injury or something, but I don't know that Trotter's quite as fast as David was coming out, but I think it's a similar skill set. You have a guy with a high football IQ who can really run, who can really cover, and just struggles getting downhill sometimes and really, really physical. But the same things were said about Levante David. And David's always played on the weak side, and he's done a great job of it. I think Trotter at his peak could be a very similar player. To Junior Colson from Michigan, I think he's actually the safest linebacker on the whole board. I think if you ask me a guy who's about to be a just solid starter for the next like 8 years, I think it's Junior Colson. Everything's just so fundamentally sound. Like, it's not flashy. He doesn't have a lot of like big flash, like holy hell kind of highlights. He just gets the job done, and for the most part, when he gets to the right spot, he's an excellent tackler. He's an excellent run fitter. The only flaw he really has is that sometimes he's just a little bit late. But I see him as kind of like, I think about some linebackers we've seen recently in the league. I thought about like Azeez Alshire is kind of like that, just fundamentally sound. KJ Wright was kind of like that alongside Bobby Wagner for Seattle. I think Junior Colson fits in just about anywhere. It's just a safe, fundamentally sound pick. And number one, Peyton Wilson, the best athlete of the group, one of the few guys that can cover of this group. He can really turn a run and cover. I think, though, we have to understand when we make Peyton Wilson the top guy here, what he is. Like, there isn't a Luke Kuechly or a guy like that in this class, or a Brian Urlacher or something like that. Wilson, to me, I think is very much like Trotter. He's in a bigger body, but he's a run and chase guy. I would really, you know, for a while now, I've been kind of like looking at him, oh, maybe he's that Cardinals, you know, that alpha guy the Cardinals need in the middle. I don't think so. I think he would fit best with a team that already has an established middle linebacker. Kind of like how Patrick Queen got a lot better once Roquan Smith got to the Ravens, and that the Ravens might be a team looking at him. I think Wilson's kind of that run and chase weak side guy. Wicked, wicked athlete. Crazy, just crazy athlete at his size, but not as physical as you think he would be at that size. I think if you bring him in as like a true middle linebacker to run the whole show, he might struggle early on, but I like him a lot if you pair him with the right team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We actually have a lot of similar rankings in this one as well. I have, so at number five, I'm the same as you. I have Cedric Gray from North Carolina. I think he did a good job breaking it down. Just a really fast player, man. And obviously he's not, you know, the most athletic biggest linebacker in this class, but really, really fast player who can, you know, explode to the football, really good in coverage, good as a run defender as well. You know, he's got to improve his play recognition, I think, a little bit, but I like him a lot, and I think he's a guy that could become a starter in the NFL if he gets a little bit better at recognizing the plays when they're happening. At number four for me is Jeremiah Trotter Jr., another guy I like a lot, another interview that we actually had on this channel, one of the smartest linebackers in this draft. Obviously, the athletic limitations are there, the size limitations are there, he's a short player, but I still think he's a guy that you could put out there and trust him to always be in the right spot. And I think he's going to be a productive player in the NFL because of that. Number three, I got Junior Colson from Michigan. Good, not great athlete, but he's got really good size as well. I still think there are some change of direction stuff that I don't love with him, but I think Junior Colson's a really productive player for Michigan, one of the leaders of that defense and what was one of the best defenses in college football, if not the best. I think Junior Colson's a guy that I would bet on probably in the second round. Edgerton Cooper, number two, arguably the best linebacker in college football this past year. I know he didn't win the Butkus Award, but I thought he was. Like you said, I think that is a good point that you brought up, that, you know, a lot of the stuff he did was kind of as a spy, but he's got that speed, man, to really be a dangerous player. And I think he's got more in coverage than someone like Devin White did maybe coming out. And I understand Devin White's probably a better prospect overall than Edgerton Cooper because he was a top five pick, whereas Cooper's me a second round pick. But I still like Cooper enough, and I still like this tape enough to bet on him probably in day two. And then number one is Peyton Wilson from NC State, same as you. Wilson, freak athlete, man. Scored as a 99th percentile athlete, according to Kent Lee Platt's relative athletic score. And he also was a dominant player, both in coverage, as a run defender, even added as a pass rusher as well. Big question for him is he's had multiple season-ending injuries, serious injuries at a position where it's a very, very physical position. So obviously you want him to stay healthy in the NFL, and that's going to be one of his red flags he has. But when he's on the field, man, it's hard to find a better linebacker in this draft than Peyton Wilson, just because of the freakish athleticism he has, and then also all the great things he does, both in coverage, as a run defender, and as a pass rusher. I mean, I always say this. I think linebacker is probably the hardest position to play on defense, at least nowadays, just because you're asked to do so much in coverage as a run defender, as a tackler. And if you're a liability in one of those areas, it's tough for you to get on the field. Peyton Wilson's really not a liability in any of those areas. He's kind of a plus player in all those areas. It's just, can he stay healthy? And I think that is going to be the difference between him being a really productive linebacker in the NFL and one that could become bust because of him just not being able to stay healthy. So who is the sleeper, Dalton, that you have in this draft at linebacker?
Definitely not the stud Toledo defender you expected to hear about yet. Let me get Dallas Gant, if I could speak, from Toledo, linebacker there. Former four-star recruit at Ohio State. Played a lot of special teams there and just couldn't earn a starting job, and especially in 2021 after got beat out by Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers there, transferred to Toledo the last 2 years. And after Jeremiah Trotter, over the last 2 years, he's the next highest graded linebacker in this draft. Just I think his play style is a lot like Colson, actually, where it's kind of quiet. It's fundamentally sound. There's not a ton of big mistakes. 80-plus grades in both run D and coverage this year. And just anchored that Toledo front seven. They were an elite defense this year, man, at that level. You don't see a whole lot of mistakes. Now, I don't know, I couldn't find Toledo Pro Day results anywhere because Gant wasn't invited to the combine. I just could not find these Pro Day results. But I would be curious to see what he actually runs, because the speed would be a difference for me. I think I saw one rumor that he ran a 4.58, and if that's the case, this is a guy who was a four-star recruit at Ohio State and a ton of talent. I think you could develop him into something like Colson, and if not, I would still take a chance on him based on pedigree and athleticism. And he played nearly 800 special team snaps in his career. There is a role for Dallas Gant on an NFL team, and I think it's just a matter of how much they can unlock his physical talent to get him to be, if they can get him to be a starter. I don't think he's all that different if he hits his peak than Junior Colson.
I don't hate that at all, man. Dallas Gant's definitely a guy that I like a lot. He graded out as one of the top linebackers in the country this past season. Unlike Dallas Gant, my guy I'm going for as sleeper wasn't really a highly rated recruit coming out of high school. It is Edifon Ulufosio from Washington. Two-star recruit coming out and actually was a walk-on originally at Washington. He actually was an honorable mention All-American in the 2020 season, all the way back in 2020. Then just battled injuries, man. This guy could not stay in the field. He had a torn bicep in 2021, torn ACL 2022. Finally was fully healthy this past season and showed why he was such a good player for Washington. Obviously very experienced player, which allows him to recognize plays pretty quickly and play really, really well in coverage. And then I think the big thing with him, and I've seen a negative on a lot of scouting reports for him, is that he's not an elite athlete. Well, according to his athletic score from his combine, tested out as a 97th percentile athlete, man. So it's almost like, I understand there are some stuff that you can't really, use testing to really judge their athleticism, because there is stuff on the field that matters. But man, when you test out that well, it's almost like, okay, I don't really know why he's being talked about as a poor athlete when he runs a 4.56 40, 1.53 10-yard split, which is 99th percentile for linebackers, by the way, 39.5-inch vertical, 98th percentile, 10-foot-8-inch broad, which is 97th percentile. I mean, like, he is really fast, really explosive. I think he deserves a lot more love right now, and he is going to be probably definitely a day three pick. I'm going to look right now where he is on the consensus board. Yeah, 156 on the consensus board, which is like a fifth, sixth rounder right now. I think Edifon Ulufosio deserves more than that, man, and I think he proved that he's a really, really good player, especially in coverage, which is where I think it's really valuable to be at linebacker nowadays. Really, obviously, hardworking player that you'd want in your locker room, a guy who became a really good linebacker after starting as a walk-on. And then he also has really good athleticism, at least in the combine setting as well. So right now, going to be a fifth, sixth-round player, and I think he deserves to be more than that, man. So Edifon Ulufosio is my most slept-on linebacker in the 2024 NFL Draft. All right, let's go over to our cornerback rankings now, Dalton. Who are your top five corners in this year's draft?
This was so hard to make the order of this, because I think the one thing that's not getting mentioned enough is just the level of talent in this cornerback class in general. Man, there are so many good ones, and the fact that we had to narrow it to five, and then ordering these five was hard enough. But we'll get after it first at five with Nate Wiggins from Clemson. You've got speed and you've got length. I mean, he's a guy who can play press. He's a guy who man-to-man just looks the part. The only thing about him is his frame.
Yeah.
I think he weighed in at, 173 pounds it was at the combine. He's light. And the only other thing for me is I don't think when I went back and watched, he wasn't tested all that much in the ACC. There's just not a lot of elite passing games in the ACC, really, other than Florida State. But lights out in the role that he did play. Obviously, Clemson played a ton of man-to-man because they had guys like Wiggins and Andrew Mukuba and all that. There's a ton of potential. The only thing I worry about is if it's also something like, you know, I watched a lot of Emmanuel Forbes this past year, and you could just see the footwork along with the light frame against certain receivers. Just it wasn't quite there yet. There was an adjustment period to the level of physicality in the NFL, so I worry about that a bit. But there's no question about his feet and his length in that frame, a 6'2 frame that can move like that, and the closing speed, even when he does get beat, is crazy. Wiggins has a ton of potential, but he has to get more physical. Four, and I love him, and this is 1 through 4. This was it.
Don't
kills
do
me
it.
To put him at four.
Don't do it.
But I went Kool-Aid McKinstry at four. I think he wins with technique. He's as technically sound as any corner in this draft. But when they talk about you don't really see the top-end traits, I get that. Now, I think he's getting run down. I think you really might have four corners here who are four of the top 20 players in this draft. I think this is not at all to say Kool-Aid's like way in a tier below. Not at all. Because as from a technical sense and just how to play corner, he's spectacular. I just think the next three guys are so good, and there's so much potential like on the high end that this is just where Kool-Aid falls, but he should be picked in the top 20 to 25. Absolutely. Three for me is his teammate Terrion Arnold. I think the first thing that jumped out at me was just hyper competitiveness. Like, wow, he brings all the talent. He's got speed. We've seen him kill the pre-draft process. So aggressive and so competitive. I got a LeJarius Sneed feel out of Arnold. I think there's going to be teams who are going to look at him maybe as a slot corner, really, because he's just so aggressive and he's so good in run defense, and he just, even when he messes something up, he just goes 110 miles an hour constantly. It's for me, I think with Arnold, it's hard not to love just the sheer competitive spirit he plays with, and he's just so aggressive. He can play in any role, inside, outside. I think between Arnold and McKinstry, I think the versatility of the fact that Arnold might be able to play inside as well was probably the tiebreaker for me, but they're so, so close. Two, I've got Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. This is going to sound funny. I think he's the corner in this draft. Now, he's not as tall or long. I think he's 6 foot. I think he's the corner that the most in this draft plays like Sauce Gardner. Just a little bit of a wide base, can play really, really well, especially in cover three off. He can play in press. You could just tell for the last 3 years at Toledo, every field he stepped on, he was the best athlete. He was. And you could see the progression from winning with athleticism to winning with a combination of athleticism and technique at corner. And there's still some work to be done with his footwork. I think he's got the highest ceiling out of all of these guys. And he just has to just keep refining and keep getting his feet under him. Sometimes his feet can get a little wide, but the athleticism is almost unmatched in this class at corner. And he just was the best football player on every field that he walked on. And the ceiling, I think the ceiling is really like top five potential. And one, I went with Cooper DeJean because I think he's the best football player right now. I see some Trent McDuffie in his game. Yeah. We've talked about it before. DeJean's tape is so good, it's boring. It is. It's boring. And it's weird for a guy who's got 7 interceptions the last 2 years, couple of pick sixes, good punt returner as well. But you watch DeJean and every single play is so fundamentally sound. Like he just feels like his corner can be volatile and you can find a lot of busts and all that. He just feels like the safest player of all these guys. I don't have a whole, like I talked about Latu being 9th on the board for me. I don't think DeJean slots in too far behind that because he's just so sound. It's just, I really, it's hard to find. The only consistent thing I could complain about maybe is finding the ball on back shoulders. But otherwise, zone coverage, man coverage, press coverage, whatever you want, DeJean just does it right.
Yeah. No, that's a great breakdown, man. And we're going to do a mock draft pretty soon. There's a spot for DeJean I like in the top 15 a lot that we're going to get to when we do our mock draft pretty soon. But I'll start off with my number five, and that is Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Elite speed, man. I love what he showed in coverage this past season. Obviously, the big thing with him is the frame, and he's 173 pounds. I mean, we saw how much Emmanuel, I think you brought it up really well. I think Emmanuel Forbes is a guy that kind of scared me off Nate Wiggins a little bit, because it's like, man, Emmanuel Forbes really struggled this past year. And I think Nate Wiggins is probably a better prospect than Emmanuel Forbes was coming out of Mississippi State. But I still think that Nate Wiggins is a guy that I'm a little bit lower on than some people just because of that frame. And I think he's got to put on some weight to handle the bigger receivers in the NFL. But his speed is elite, man. 4.28 40. Got some really, really good tools. Just got to put on some weight for me to be a little bit higher on him. Number four, Terrion Arnold, I have from Alabama. Arnold was incredibly productive this past year, I think in part because of his teammate, which I'll get to in a little bit. But Terrion Arnold, man, is a really, really good player. I think he still has some work to do in terms of his footwork and, you know, which I think could get him beat sometimes. But really, really good athlete that I think is just starting to hit his potential right now, which I think is very exciting for someone like him. Number three, I'm going to preface this by saying this. The top three, you could put in any order, and I'd be okay with it. So at number three, I think they're literally like neck and neck. I have Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Another interview that we got, if you want to check it out on the channel. Awesome, awesome kid, and he is all business, man. He is, like, I think you said it really well. He's just his technique, both in coverage and as a run defender. He is the best run defender, I think, at the cornerback position in this draft. He is an excellent tackler, really fills the gaps really well when he's asked to do that. Versatile player, can play in the slot, can play on the outside, can play safety if you absolutely need him to, even though I do think he deserves to be an outside corner in the NFL. But Cooper DeJean, man, I really love his tape. And I think he's a really athletic player, too. He wasn't able to test out because of his injuries that he's had. I'm not sure if he's going to do a pro day pretty soon. But I'm a big fan of Cooper DeJean, dude. And I think he is, like I said, I think he's going to be a really productive player in the NFL. He's a high, high floor player. Number two, I mentioned guys who've had excellent pre-draft processes like Braden Fisk. Quinyon Mitchell's right there with him, man. Because at Toledo, so he was the highest graded corner in the country in 2022, highest graded corner in the country in 2023. But when you turn on the Toledo tape, obviously when you see a corner who's grading out that high, you see where he's from Toledo. Okay, he's playing in the MAC, playing against awful quarterbacks, playing against some not great receivers compared to the what we have in the Power 5 either. But, and you also look at the scheme he's playing, he's playing a lot of off coverage. And you're like, okay, what does it look like when he's playing press coverage, man? Because he was not asked to do that at all. He was playing almost exclusively off coverage at Toledo. Goes to the Senior Bowl, plays press coverage, gets some really talented receivers, and dominates them. And then you're like, okay, wait a minute. Like, we might have something here with Quinyon Mitchell. Then he goes to the Combine, and he's the most athletic corner at the Combine as well. So all of a sudden, you have this freak athlete, yeah, 98th percentile athlete at the Combine. That's the most athletic we had out of any of these corners in this draft. So elite athlete who proved he could play in press coverage, proved, obviously, with his elite tape at Toledo, he could play in off coverage as well. I think he is a really, really good player that I'd be willing to take in the top 15 of this draft, man, because I think there's a lot of stuff to like with him at Toledo, and then obviously he's got an excellent pre-draft process to bank on as well. Number one, hot take here, but I had to put my guy at number one because I've been singing his praises all year, and I think it's criminal what's happening to him right now. I got Khalid McKinstry as my number one corner in this draft. Now, of course, like I said, you can put Quinyon number one, you can put DeJean number one, and I would not have a problem with it. I have Khalid number one right now because, for me, production is more important than anything else, man. And this guy has been maybe the best corner in college football 2 years in a row now in a Nick Saban defense that asks a lot of their corners, and Kool-Aid was still fantastic. And the only reason that Terrion Arnold is going to go in the first round of this draft is because of number one, is because of Khalid McKinstry, because quarterbacks quite literally did not look to his side of the field, and they looked at Terrion Arnold. And that's why Arnold was targeted more, and Arnold obviously made some incredible plays, and it's why he's going to be a first-round pick. But that would not have happened if they didn't have a shutdown corner in Khalid McKinstry. You want to talk about boring tape? Khalid McKinstry's got boring tape, man, because they do not look at his way at all, but he is locking down players. Now, the big question for him, and why I think you're seeing guys like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Terrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, why they're probably going to go above him in the NFL draft, is that they're elite athletes Kool-Aid's an above average athlete. Kool-Aid's a 75th percentile athlete. Still good enough. Still ran a 4.47 at his pro day, which is good enough, certainly. But he's not an elite athlete like the other guys are. But for me, he has been an All-American in 2022. He was an All-American in 2023. The tape matters more than anything, man. He has been the best corner in college football for 2 years in a row, basically playing in the SEC as well. I mean, I love Kool-Aid McKinstry, dude, and I think what is happening to him is criminal, and it's a lot like what I think was happening to Laiatoluatu, where it's like, this guy's going to be the third edge off the board. This guy's going to be the fourth corner off the board. They should be the number one players, man, because they are the best players in college football at their position, in my opinion. So I got Kool-Aid at number one. Who is the sleeper, Dalton, that we're not talking about enough, though, in this cornerback class?
There's a lot. This is a deep class, and I feel like everybody's mentioned somebody once when you talk about the Florida State guys, and even I thought about Kamal Haddon here, but I'm gonna go even deeper than that. I'm gonna go to Tulane. I'm gonna go to Jarius Monroe. Started his career at Nichols, 3 really good years there. Transferred to Tulane, solid 2022. Had an interception of Caleb Williams in the Cotton Bowl, and parlayed that into a really good 2023. I think, you know, with so much zone coverage being played, okay, there are such things as good zone corners. I think Monroe falls in that bucket. Really, really good length, somewhere between 6'1 and 6'2, 205, good size, really has a great feel, and his eyes are really good in zone coverage. Could his press and man technique use some work? Absolutely. It's why he's going to be probably somewhere between a 5th and 7th round pick. But his size, his eyes, and his feel for zone coverage, he won defensive MVP at the Shrine Bowl, had an interception in that game, just continues to very quietly produce in every situation that he's in. I think he's the exact type of corner like Jalen Watson and Josh Williams that Kansas City would take, and all of a sudden you just go, oh, there's another one. Mm-hmm. Of course, they've got another one, because I just think his feel for the game, and he still has more improvements to make, man-to-man especially, but even Tulane, they trusted him on an island a lot this year. He was on the solo side in a lot of formations, playing press, and then teams just wouldn't throw his way, because in the American, you're not going to just throw it at a team's best corner all the time, right? But Jarius Monroe on a Tulane defense that's been really, really good the last couple of years, he's been a big part of it. I like his size. I like his zone ability. I would take him somewhere in the 5th, 6th round.
Yeah, I don't hate that shout out at all. So you have a great zone corner that you're shouting out. A great man corner I'm shouting out, and your guy, dude, Renardo Green from Florida State. He's 110 on the consensus board right now, so he fits the kind of outside the top 100 that we're looking for. Going to be probably a 4th round pick in the draft, man, but man, I think Trevor actually put in an article. He says Renardo Green is the number one man corner in this year's draft, honestly, which is a very valuable thing. It's something you should not be able to get in the 4th round, and yet he's going to be a 4th round pick. So I think Renardo Green, man, in man coverage is really, really good, really calm player. I think he could be a number two corner for a team easily, especially if they play a lot of press coverage. I am a huge, huge fan of Renardo Green, and I'm also, if you want another guy to shout out, I think his teammate Jerrion Jones. If you want a slot corner, Jerrion Jones is another guy that I think will be a day 3 pick probably, but I'm still a huge fan of. And Renardo Green, 82nd percentile athlete, he's got the athleticism to stick as a man corner in the NFL. I'm a huge, huge fan of him in press coverage, and I think he was elite as a man corner this past season. So that's why I have him as my sleeper to watch in this draft. As you could probably get in the 4th round. Let's move over to safety, Dalton. Probably the weakest position maybe in the entire draft, I would say. And I'm really curious to see how you stack up the top 5, because I think there is a lot of names that you could put in the top 5, and it wouldn't be crazy. Who are your top 5 safeties in this year's draft?
This was hard. This was the hardest part, just top to bottom by far, except for the very top. I think everybody's agreeing on number one, but we'll start at 5. I went Jaden Hicks out of Washington State, 5, and this was really tight. This was either going to be for me Hicks or Cam Kitchens from Miami, but I went with Hicks. I went big frame, 6'3", right around, I think, 215, 220. Big hit and box safety. I think if you are a Jaden Hicks fan, you think he can be something like Cam Chancellor. Just big hitter. Honestly, I think the majority of his snaps this year came more at linebacker. He's like kind of that hybrid linebacker, strong safety, run support, curl flat kind of player that I could totally see like a Dan Quinn at Washington looking at. I think he's used a lot of those hybrid guys the last couple of years in Dallas. I would put him back there free for sure. He's more of a long strider than like a quickness kind of guy. His change of direction kind of gives me some pause. He'll make the plays in front of him, and he's a big hitter. But I went Jaden Hicks on the traits over Cam Kitchens at 5-4. I'll tell you what, I didn't watch a whole lot of tape on him. I didn't watch a whole lot of Texas Tech during the season. But Dadreon Taylor Demerson, man, this dude's a pinball. Like, I talked about Arnold playing with a reckless abandon. He makes Terran Arnold look soft. This guy is to borderline reckless. He's so aggressive. And also, like, he's just got this weird ability in the slot. He could honestly play slot corner in the league. He makes some super athletic plays in press coverage in the slot. And then he can run down balls free. Like, he's really versatile and really aggressive. I think sometimes the aggression can work against him because he wants to see his first read and just take off and just pinball. I mean, I'm telling you, like, his just entire level of aggression is different maybe than any player in this draft. I see some versatility. I see athleticism. And I see just – I would rather – on defense especially, take an aggressive guy like this and try to reel him back in, then try to make a guy work up to a level of physicality. And I think Taylor Demerson, actually, I was really impressed with what I saw from him. 3 is Kalen Bullock from USC, kind of the anti-Taylor Demerson. Single high, wants to sit back there and find the football, right? I think, and there's productive players like this, right? Excellent hands, excellent range, pure free safety. Quandre Diggs, Juan Thornhill, Malik Hooker, those are all the guys I think of. They want to sit back there and watch the football, and when it goes deep, they want to break on it and make interceptions. He doesn't – I almost put him number 2, but he gives me so little in run support that I just – it was hard for me knowing – Kalen Bullock's really good at one thing and one thing only, and that's playing center field, right? But I do like him a lot. I think in the right defense, he can play that same role as like a Quandre Diggs has for Seattle for a long time. 2, I have Javon Bullard, and he really only moved to safety this year. Before this year, was a pure nickel corner. This year, more of a hybrid, but proving he could play at least a deep half and make plays on the ball while still being, you know, good enough in coverage and aggressive enough to make plays on the ball either way. The more I watched him, the more I thought of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Aggressive, I like that. At times reckless, at times overrunning things. But the plays on the ball are worth it enough for him to be productive. Another guy, Gardner Johnson, pure slot the last couple of years, moved to safety. Bullard's obviously done it earlier in the process. But that's kind of the name that kept popping into my head when I was watching him as, like, combo guy who can play both roles well. And then number 1's obvious, it's Tyler Newbin. He was best safety in college football this year, I believe in the top 10 in 2022. Fundamentally sound in all facets. Probably fits better in a too high thing because Minnesota played a lot of quarters. I could see the Bills. I know there's a lot of talk about receiver. I could see the Bills taking him at 28 because they got a hole at safety, too. They got a lot of holes everywhere, to be honest with you. Newbin is just, I think, as fundamentally sound a football player at this position as there is in this class. I think he's the safest one, well-rounded, good cover, good run D, just gives you a little bit of everything you want in a starting safety.
Yeah. I think the number 1 is pretty easy, but I'll start off with my number 5 guys. Actually, so we actually, in a wide open safety class, we actually have 4 players in the exact same spot. We just have 1 player that's different. I have Jaden Hicks from Washington State. I think you mentioned it really well. He's an excellent, excellent tackler. If you want him as a strong safety, man, I think that is the route for him to have a very successful NFL career. There's some deficiencies that I don't love in coverage and sometimes where he gets beat, but I like Jaden Hicks a lot, and I think, you know, he showed some good stuff on tape, especially as a downhill player, as a strong safety. So if you're looking for a strong safety, man, that is where I'm looking for Jaden Hicks. I think, again, a little over-aggressive, and I think his man coverage ability is inconsistent, but I think he's a guy that if you want a downhill player, he's the guy I'm probably looking at first. Number 4, I actually have Cameron Kitchens from Miami. Now, I will say he was an elite safety, maybe the best in the country as a sophomore in 2022. Kind of had a down year this past season, was battling injuries as well. Still a great player in coverage, still a center fielder that you like at free safety. Had 12 interceptions in the past 2 years, so he's a very great ball skills. But you hear that, you say, you hear the center fielder and the 12 interceptions, you think, oh, he's a really athletic player. Really not. I think it's more about his anticipation than anything else, because he actually tested out, man. He had a horrible combine. Like, almost like at the point where, like, man, if you knew these are the numbers you're going to post, I would have faked an injury or something and just not work out, because, like, that really hurt him, I think. He ran a 4.65 40-yard dash, which is 18th percentile for safeties, and it was slower than Cedric Johnson, who's an Ole Miss edge defender, 60 pounds heavier than Cameron Kitchens, and he ran a faster 40 than he did. Also, Cam Kitchens had a 9'2" broad jump, which is the third worst by a safety since they started tracking in 1999. So horrible, horrible combine. In fact, a shockingly bad combine from Cameron Kitchens. So I actually thought it was at least an above average athlete. And he tested out as a 24th percentile athlete. So that, I think, really hurt his stock from being entering the year a projected first round pick, and now he's going to be a third round pick probably. But I still think there's enough there as a center fielder to bet on long term. Another guy a lot in the same mold is Kalen Bullock from USC. But way better athlete than Cam Kitchens, but way worse as a run defender. I mean, he is a liability as a run defender. He's a liability as a tackler. If you want to go back to that Utah Pac-12 championship game a couple years ago, they were targeting him, man. They were just trying to get him in space because he could not tackle anyone. So he is a really, really special player in coverage and makes some unbelievable plays as a center field player at free safety. But man, he's got to get stronger, and he's got to be able to tackle better and wrap up better, because it is truly pretty bad right now. Number two, I got Javon Bullard from Georgia, same as you. I like his slot versatility a lot. I like the C.J. Gardner-Johnson shout out you had, because I think that's kind of the role you envision him playing, where he could play safety for you if you want, he could play in the slot for you as well. Been a really productive player for Georgia at both those areas. I like Javon Bullard a lot for that versatility, so I have him at number two. And then easily number one is Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. You mentioned it, best safety in college football this past year, athletic enough player, made some great plays in coverage, made some really good plays as a run defender as well. Tyler Newbin's pretty easily the number one safety for me in the 2024 NFL draft. So who is the sleeper, Dalton, that you want to shout out in this draft?
He's a guy we talked about during the season a good amount. Katano Ladapo from Oregon State. I believe over the last 3 years, he's the highest graded safety in the country, or at least in this class, but it might be in the country. He's a heat-seeking missile in the run game. I think he's much closer to Jaden Hicks in the run game than people think. He's a big, big hitter. Also, very versatile, can play back free a little bit, probably better in a deep half or in quarters. And, plays in the slot a good amount. The questions for Oladapo for me would be in coverage. It's just his eye discipline, like between stepping up hard on play action and kind of seeing concepts that are coming towards him from the other side of the field. I think if his eyes got a lot better than they are right now physically, I think he's as gifted as just about every safety in this class. And if nothing else, he's going to be kind of a sub-package hybrid guy and a lot of special teams in there. But I saw that the two guys I kind of thought about were two guys from last year when I watched Oladapo are Shamari Connor, who's with the Chiefs now, and Anthony Johnson, who's with the Packers. I think he's kind of a mix between those two guys. Is like he's got Johnson's aggressiveness and Connor's versatility, and I think none of those guys you would ask to go back single high like that, but I think that he could handle a deep half. And he can handle all of the in-the-box responsibilities if his eye discipline just gets a little better in the passing game. I think Oladapo is definitely worth a flyer.
Yeah, the guy I want to shout out, who is kind of like a appetizer for what we're going to get next year in Travis Hunter, in terms of like, oh, what is he, a corner or wide receiver? It's Sione Vaki from Utah, who I think he's going to play defense long term. He actually did an interview with Connor Rogers, who works for us at PFF on the NFL Stock Exchange channel, which you check out. I think it's the best NFL draft podcast out there. He actually interviewed Sione Vaki, and Vaki, he asked him, would you rather play? He said, I'd rather be a defensive player. Smart, honestly, smart. Longer career, more money as well, so it makes sense for him to say that. But yeah, he's a guy I really like at safety. And also, man, if you need a running back in a pinch, he was awesome at running. What do you have, like a 95 rushing grade this past year or something like that? I gotta look it up exactly.
He was good for sure.
Dude, it's insane we didn't running back. I know Utah was really, I mean, they had so many injuries offensively last year, and they just, they're like, hey, man, we need something from you. Yeah, 94 offensive grade last year, 93.1 receiving grade, 88.7 rushing grade. I still think he's a safety long term. I like him a lot in the box and in the slot. His hips are a little stiff. Change of direction is not great. So you don't really want him as a deep free safety because I think that's where he can get exposed. But you put him in the box, man, he's a physical player. And he can also play a little bit in the slot as well. The PFF draft guy, which you can find at PFF.com, Trevor Sekulow put it together, did an excellent job. His player comp is perfect, Dalton, I think. It's Shaq Thompson, who played more linebacker in the NFL for the Carolina Panthers. But he was kind of a safety at Washington. And also, if you remember, he plays in running back for the Huskies as well. He was a really productive running back. So I kind of love that comp as a guy who could play running back and safety. And maybe, I mean, even with some of the deficiencies he has as a, you know, free safety, maybe even put Vaki at linebacker. Now, he is very, very small to play linebacker. He's 5'11", 210. So he probably can't do that full time. But you put him in the box, man, as a strong safety. Put him as a slot corner. I like that. And also, again, you have the added bonus that he can play running back and probably do it at a pretty good level if you want as well, if you really need it in your locker room. So Sione Vaki is the guy that I wanted to shout out. All right, that's what we got, man, for our top five prospects at every defensive position in the NFL draft. We're about 3 weeks away, man, from the NFL draft, which is crazy. And Dalton, we have a very, very special video we've been kind of hyping up for a long time now that we're going to do next week. You want to tell the good people what we're going to be doing next week?
Oh, an all-eligible mock draft. What would it be if every player in college football were eligible? And all of a sudden that adds to the intrigue of the quarterbacks. How many guys in the next couple years' classes would threaten this year's class in the top 32? All sorts of, we're going to hear about the second this draft is over, we're going to hear about all the Shedeur Sanders drama for the next year, so we might as well start it now. This is going to be a fun one because there's a lot of talent, and honestly, a lot of talent at positions that aren't that talented in this draft when we've been talking about running backs and safeties and things like that. And even, I'll tell you what, there's another group of edge players coming, man. I mean, I'm real curious to see where we're going to stack up all these guys, especially from next year's class, in with this group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, just to kind of tease it, I mean, the defensive class, the offensive class this year is what's loaded. Defensively, it's kind of the opposite, where defensively next year, it is crazy loaded. Like, I think every defensive position, the top guy this year, if you included 2025 guys, would not be the number one guy anymore. I think a 2025 guy would be the number one player at every single defensive position that we just went over today. But still, really interesting defensive class that we have. So obviously, subscribe to the channel so you don't miss our all-eligible mock draft that we're dropping next week. So for Bruce Eli back there, for Dalton Wasserman, I'm Max Chadwick, and we'll see you guys next week.